Praise the Lord. Go to Acts, please. Chapter 2. Is anybody or any family members here experiencing or experiencing, I hear viral pneumonia, some type of lung disorder? Is that anybody here or family member? No? Well, I would say I didn't hear right, except usually they come up afterwards and tell me that. So, I know, Lord, we pray right now. I pray for anybody that's experienced. Lord, we pray. We call out right now for anybody experiencing lung disorders, God, in Jesus' name. Any kind of lung disorders, God. Emphysema, COPD, pneumonia. We curse that thing in the name of Jesus, God. And I thank you for healing. I thank you for healing power. I thank you for healing anointing, God. I thank you for the blood of Jesus. I thank you for the name of Jesus, that at the name of Jesus, every knee will bow, every tongue will confess that Jesus is Lord, every disease will bow, every mental disorder will bow, every demon will bow right now. I serve you, notice you demonic powers, in Jesus' name. You have no place here. God, we pray right now over the former Essence Center in Palmyra, Indiana. We pray the blood of Jesus on that high place right now. We pray that the power of witchcraft will be spoiled in that place right now, and people will come running to the Lord Jesus in the name of the Lord, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus. Lord, I thank you for your word. I thank you, God, that your anointing be on every word spoken here, and God, anything I planned on saying, anything that's not in your will, God, you'll just stop it and you'll just release the fullness of what you want to say. I want to talk about last day's revival a little bit, because you know I love revival. Verse 1, when the day of Pentecost had what? Fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing and a mighty wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. Then there appeared to them divided tongues as of fire, one sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Verse 6, when this sound occurred, the multitude came together and were confused because everyone heard them speak in his own language. Verse 14, Peter, standing up with the 11, raised his voice and said to them, men of Judea and all who dwell in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and heed my words, for these are not drunk as you suppose, since it is only the third hour of the day. What? 9 in the morning. But this is what was spoken of by the prophet Joel. It will come to pass in the last days. Say last days. Last days 2,000 years ago. How much more are we in the last days now? How much more are we in the last days now? How much more in need are we of the Holy Spirit and the gifts of the Spirit? It will come to pass in the last days, says God. Who? God, that I will pour out my Spirit on all flesh. Your sons and your daughters will what? What did Pastor Paul just do? Prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. And on my men servants and my maid servants, I will pour out my Spirit in those days, and they shall prophesy. I will show wonders in heaven above and signs in the earth beneath, blood and fire and vapor of smoke. The power of God on the day of Pentecost was poured out what? Without measure. It was poured out without measure. Y'all believe that? It was poured out without measure. Why did they need the Holy Ghost in the day of Pentecost? They just lost their best friend. They just lost their Savior. They thought it was all over, right? But hundreds of them sat there and watched him do a slow rise into the clouds, didn't they? And they're just like we'd be. Wow, look at that man. He's disappearing in the clouds. And they wanted to just rest in that for a while, didn't they? They just wanted to rest in it for a while and wait for him to return like he'd promised, right? And the angel said, come on, man, don't be looking at heaven. You need to be about your Father's business, basically, what they were saying. This Jesus who just left this way is going to return in the same way. So don't get stressed about it. It's going to happen, but it's not time. There's things to do. So they set an upper room for what? How long? I don't know how long, but it was 50 days after, help me, Jesus, Passover. Y'all know about that. We're not even going to talk about this. 2 Timothy 3:1. There's going to be two revivals, really more than that, but two revivals in the last days. One is going to be a revival of the power of God and the presence of God, which we read about just now in Acts, but it's going to be so much more than that. It's going to be so much stronger than that because that happened to 120 people. This is fixing to happen to every church. It's been crying out and crying out and crying out for the power of God. Faith Victory Center has been crying out for the power of God. Faith Harvest has been crying out for the power of God. Numerous churches up and down this Highway 150 corridor have been calling out for the power of God, the fresh anointing of God. 2 Timothy 3, verse 1. Know this, that in the what? Last days, what? Perilous times will come. Men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, unloving, unforgiving, slanderers, without self-control, brutal, despisers of good, traitors, headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, and having a form of godliness but denying its power. From such people, turn away. What's a form? What's a form of godliness? I call it religion. What's that? Pharisees? Anyway, we won't talk about that. We all been there, hadn't we? We've all had a form. We don't want a form. We want the real deal, right? This sort are those who creep into households and make captives of gullible women and men, I'm putting that in there, loaded down with sins, led away with various lusts, always learning, but never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. In the world, you might call them professional students. You've got degree heaped on degree, 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 and you're still in school. Time to go out and do what you've been trained to do, right? Okay, y'all be patient with me. 2 Peter 3, verse 1. If y'all want to find it, go ahead and find it. I've already got it. Thanks to my trusty iPad y'all bought me. So easy. Praise the Lord. Don't have to search. It's right there. Beloved. Is he coming at him with a, is he like getting ready to nail him? He's saying, beloved, I love you, man. Beloved, I write to you this second letter, in both of which I stir up your pure minds by way of reminder, that you be mindful of the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets, and of the commandment of us, the apostles of the Lord and Savior, knowing this first, that what? Scoffers will come in the last days, walking according to their own lust, and saying, where is the promise of his coming? Since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of creation. For this they willfully forget that by the word of God the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the water and in the water, by which, in other words, they said, you know, before Noah's flood, they weren't listening to what Noah was warning of. He built a boat for, what, 120 years? And he warned and he preached and he preached and he warned and he warned and he preached and he preached and he warned. And he did what God told him to do, and they sat there. And I heard that one's getting ready to open up in the Creation Museum in June. They're getting ready to open that ark, that life-size ark. I'm going, man. That's going to be awesome. But anyway, they watched this man and his family build this huge aircraft carrier. How big is an aircraft carrier, Si? You used to be on one. It's like a city, isn't it? This guy built an ark because God told him to, and the people willfully ignored the warning. God's going to pour out his wrath. God's going to pour out his wrath. It's going to rain. 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 And nobody listened. There was only 8 people saved. No new converts. And I don't even know if they all love God, but they got in under Noah's covering, praise God. There's 2 revivals going on right now. There's a revival of darkness going on right now. There's a major revival of sin going on right now. And there's a major revival of the Holy Ghost going on right now. People are tired of church as usual. People are ready. They say, if devil can do it, if Satanists can do it, if witches can call down the power of God, how much more should the people of God be able to see the miraculous? That's not blasphemous, man. It's not putting God to some foolish test, is it? Come on, what happened? What happened when Elijah said, okay, y'all build your altar, I'll let y'all hang out. Y'all all day they called. Oh God, send down your power. Oh Baal, send down your power. Baal, consume this offering. Consume this offering. He didn't come. He didn't show up. And he started tormenting them. Oh, maybe he went to the bathroom. Maybe he's busy right now. Maybe he can't answer you. And what do? They started cutting themselves and bleeding all over. And people are cutting now, aren't they? They're cutting. They're doing things to their body. It's like crying out, oh God, can't you hear me? He doesn't need that. He doesn't need that. All he needs is the name of Jesus. Amen? So there's a revival of a darkness in the occult going on right now. Revival of sin. Yes, there's always been sin. Has there not? There's been sin from the time Adam and Eve took of the fruit in the garden and ate of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, right? It's been going on a long time. There's a revival of situation ethics. You know what that means? That means if the situation calls for it, it's okay to sin and break God's laws. It's okay to lie if it's to protect you. It's okay to steal if your family's hungry. Huh? No, I mean, it's okay to call out to God for a meal, but really, people would say that. It's okay. That's not okay. There's a revival of that going on right now. And I'm going to do this real quick. Judges 17:6. In those days there was no king in Israel, and everyone did what was right in their own eyes. That's what we're dealing with in America right now. Everyone wants to do what's right in their own. Oh, I feel that's like what God would want. Oh, I feel that a loving God would be like this. It don't matter what you feel. It's what the Word of God says. It hasn't changed. Y'all agree with that? It hadn't changed. The Word of God hadn't changed. The Word of God does not conform. People have made God in their own image. God made people in His image, and now we think we can make God to look like what we think He should look like. Not we. I know y'all, I don't believe y'all feel like that, but you're dealing with a society when you go to work every day. That's the way they feel. They've got to see there's more in this truth than just rules. That's not what God meant for it to be, okay? But he did set down certain things to keep us safe. You know, it's like if Avery was playing out by Highway 335. You know, she's getting ready to walk out in the road, and Kristen's like, well, I'd yell at her, but I might make her cry because I might hurt her feelings. You know, I mean, you can't worry about hurting people's feelings. Worry about their eternity. There's a revival of fornication and perversion. There's a revival of fornication and perversion, sexual perversion. Can I say that in the house of God? Am I telling you anything you don't know? You go, well, no, this stuff's all new. This is this generation. No, no, no. No, this stuff isn't new at all. Prior to 1960, I looked up a few facts. Prior to 1960, there was two STDs. You know what that is, don't you? I won't go into graphic detail. Now there's 25. And several of them are incurable. Several of them are fatal. From 2 to 25. Teenage suicide has tripled since then. Oh, well, no. It's not just, there's a reason for that. In 1962, prayer got removed from public schools. In 1969, Anton LaVey wrote the Satanic Bible. And the greatest commandment in the Satanic Bible is, do what thou wilt be the whole of the law. They no longer had a king. They no longer had nobody to judge them. And that Satanic Bible spilled over into society. They didn't say it was a satanic saying, but they said, do what you will. Do your own thing. If it feels good, do it. And there was a song, if it feels good, do it. If you do it, I can't remember how it went. That's good. But if it feels good, do it. As long as it doesn't harm anyone, it's okay. It's okay. It's not harming nobody. Oh, but it is. It's harming your family. It's harming society. In 1973, abortion was made legal. There was a whole lot of pivotal things that went on in those 10, 15 years. And I don't know what year it was on Life magazine, The Pill. When it came out, it was like, women, now you're free to be derelicts and heathens just like men because now you're protected. No, really, really. That's basically what it said. And society started believing it. Okay, y'all agree there is a revival of fornication and perversion. That day, I saw the rainbow lights on the White House. I thought, oh, my God, this is impossible. This cannot be happening in America. And you could say, well, it's Obama's fault. No, it's our fault. You know, the watchers, those on the wall. There's a revival of witchcraft and Satan worship right now. I think, what was it back? I don't know what year it was because I don't know my American history as well as I should, but there was something called the Salem Witchcraft Trials, and that was back, I don't know if it was in the 1700s. But like I say, there's always been witchcraft. There's always been Satanism. Let me read you this. I thought this was interesting. Revival of witchcraft and Satan worship. What is the fastest growing religion in the United States? If you said Christianity, you would be way off because Christianity is in decline in numbers. Islam is the fastest growing major religion right now in the United States. The fastest growing religion, though, across the board is Wicca. Witchcraft. We got a coven in Palmyra, just outside of Palmyra. They've opened that, what was built to be a ministry center, the Essence House, I forget the name of it now, but it is, you know, they do the full moon festival, the whole, you can pull up their website. You don't even need to look at it, but I'm just saying, it's everywhere. Just like drugs are everywhere now. Drugs are a scourge on America, aren't they? Number of Americans that are Wiccans is doubling every 30 months. Think about that. There are 200,000 registered witches and approximately 8 million unregistered. In other words, they're just freelancing. So, and I'm not trying to paint you a bad picture. I'm just saying society is a lot more further gone than you think it is. When people are out doing dances under the moon last night and tonight, we need to be in our prayer closets. Our intercessors need to raise up and call for the power of God to come down. Not to wipe these people out, but to save them. God wants to save them. God wants the blood of Jesus on these high places so their sacrifices won't do nothing, so their spells won't do nothing. You pray every morning when you get up. You pray to spoil the power of witchcraft in your life every morning when you get up. I suggest you get up and say, I break the power. I break any witchcraft that's been spoken against me and my family and my church. I plead the blood of Jesus over every spell, every curse, every hex that's been loosed. You're going, that's operating in fear. No, man, it's operating in wisdom. You take authority. That's just exactly. You take authority. You have been given authority. In the name of Jesus, you have authority. Would you agree with that? To what? To cast out demons. To speak in new tongues. If you pick up a deadly serpent, it bites you, it's not going to harm you. If you're given poison, you'll be okay. I've seen it happen. I've seen a girl bit. You do what you want to do. I saw a girl, I wasn't there when it happened, but she got bit by a copperhead working into the church garden up there, Charlie and Jeannie's. I can't even think of, anyway, I know it happened because I saw it right after it happened. It was on Friday night before their service. Got bing, had the two little, you know, the little fang holes and everything. And they said, well, let's take you to the doctor. She said, no, y'all pray for me. The Bible says if a deadly serpent bites me, it's not going to harm me. They prayed over her, anointed her, and laid hands on her. They worshiped that night. And I'm sure people sitting there going, is she going to get sick? Nothing happened. Praise God. Nothing happened. Y'all believe that stuff's for now? I'm not against sucking the poison. You know, if that's where you're at, that's fine. That's fine. I know a guy lived in Portland, loved Jesus, man, never locked his doors at night. To me, that's a pretty good step of faith right there, you know. Even out here anymore, you won't lock your doors, right? This guy he'd go to parties and preach the gospel. He'd go to these drug parties and drunken parties and preach the gospel, and he found favor. People kind of, you know, let him do what he wanted to do. Well, he was at a party one night, and he was drinking his Coke, and everybody else was drinking whatever. Everybody stoned out of their mind. Somebody put two hits of LSD in his Coke. Uh-oh, right. You're talking major. Drank it? They're sitting there. Man, he ought to be, like, out of here by now. Nothing ever happened to him. Somebody come to the Lord and said, if nothing happened to you, something's going on with your God. I'm just saying that God is still doing the same things. And the last one there said, and they will lay hands on the sick, and what? They will recover. And when they don't, it's going to be a miracle. When they don't, you're going to be going, wow, I don't get it. They always get healed. Something's wrong here. Maybe we hadn't cried out for it because we don't need it anymore. You know? Maybe we don't cry out for it anymore because we always got, we've got a get out of jail free card. People back in, you know, the early church didn't have a get out of jail free card. It was God showed up. You go to one of these third world countries, God shows up or you die. God shows up or nothing happens. You've been to Haiti, you're better off praying than you are going to the hospital. I guarantee you don't want to go to the hospital there. It's not a safe place. There's a revival of religion going on right now. I skipped all kinds of stuff there just to free you out quicker. Praise God, I want to get out of here and get on the slick roads. And revival of religion. I like Steve Hill's definition of religion. Religion is hanging around the cross. Christianity is getting on the cross. I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. And the life that I now live, whoa, is to glorify the Son of God, isn't it? Isn't that what it's all about? I'm dead. What Paul's like, I'm dead. I don't even live no more. Whew. He said to die is gain. He said if I die right now, praise God, I get to go to glory. He said, but to live is Christ. We ain't waiting for heaven, man. You know, heaven's going to be great. And by the way, it's not going to be sitting on a cloud. Bling, bling. I'd be totally bored out of my mind. Bling, bling. They're going to be before the throne of God worshiping God. It said we're going to be governors. We're going to be officials. We're going to go down. We're going to take care of things during the 1,000-year millennium, aren't we? You might have your own town. You might have New York City. Who knows? I might get Greenville, maybe. Maybe. Probably not, but who knows? I'm just saying there's so many wonderful things in heaven. But you know what? The most wonderful thing you can do on earth is what? To me, the greatest thing you can do on earth is lead somebody to Jesus. Lead somebody to Jesus. Lead somebody to Jesus. I'll shut up. No, I won't. There's a guy that used to, there's a guy used to cut hay on our place. He was a hard case, like most people are. And he would hire these kids after school, Danny. And they would like, he would have them pick up hay bales and stack them on a trailer. And he would, I could hear him from my little white house cussing and cussing these kids and abusing these kids. And I'm like, whoa, dude, lighten up a little bit. You know who I'm talking about, don't you, Jason? You worked for him. Was he a hard case? You worked for him? You worked. Well, anyway, this guy got his money's worth, believe me. And then he wouldn't even pay you for getting you home. What, he paid for 3 hours for 5 hours work? I mean, this guy was a hard case. Yeah, $3 an hour. Wow, you didn't deserve that much. Wow. Anyway, he was a hard case, hard case, hard case, hard case. And after the Brownsville revival, there was a thing going on after Awake America, and you bought this video and you watched it with somebody. You invited somebody to watch Steve preaching with you, and then it told you to give an invitation. It kind of gave an invitation on the video. And so Donna said, I'm getting that. I said, well, okay, but I don't know we really need that. But she was listening to the Holy Spirit, see. And she said, let's invite this couple out, the person that put hay away, let's invite them out and see what happened. They came out, and they were Catholic. If you're Catholic, no offense whatsoever. But they heard the word of God, and I said, would you all like to kneel down and pray and receive Jesus? And they both hit the floor, and No, really, and I'm not, that to them, that was great respect, okay? They prayed to receive Jesus. And I went up the other day, and this man's in a coma right now. And I'm believing Jesus will heal him, but he's 80-something years old. 85, I don't know, but he's in bad shape unless God shows up. Now, I don't know. I feel like he meant that with all of his heart when that happened. So being obedient to God in little things, you know, someday you'll look and go, wow. What if I went, wow, I'd said, Donna, you know, that ain't God. And talked ourselves out of seeing somebody come to heaven. Wouldn't that be? Leviticus 18:20. Moreover, you shall not lie carnally with your neighbor's wife to defile yourself with her. You shall not let any of your descendants pass through the fire to Molech, nor shall you profane the name of your God, I am the Lord. You shall not lie with the male as with a woman. It is an abomination. Nor shall you mate with any animal to defile yourself with it. Nor shall any woman stand in it. I don't even want to go into that. Perversion's nothing new. I wish I could get this up on the screen, but I can't. It's a drawing. It's a painting. It's a painting of Molech. And what they did is they took this brass statue, and it's got horns on it. It reminds you of Satan or something, is what it reminds you of. And they had this thing, and in the back and in the front was like a wood stove, and it was a place where you could throw your logs in or whatever you was burning in there. And what happened was, is this thing was made out of brass, and it was Molech was like this. And what they did is it got red hot, and they would give their babies to the high priest, and the high priest would set the baby in those red hot arms. Innocent blood. I don't know. Probably the Hotel California. I don't know, but I know that that's religion. See, they were offering up babies to their false god. All that stuff's happening right now in America. All that stuff's going on right now in America. We've killed 60 million babies. 60 million. And I love animals, but, you know, when you get upset over a kitty cat getting abused or something, I mean, I'm okay with that. I love animals. But we're talking babies. And, you know, praise God, God knows that. God had us build a wall. If you've ever seen that stone out there in the field as you come in, it says, before I knew you, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. That scripture's on there. And you know what that wall's for? It's for women and men who have fallen into that sin, which is no worse than any other sin, but it's so they can go and stand before it and say, forgive me, Jesus, and I praise God, I'm going to see my baby again someday in heaven. It's a place of healing. And there's a cross that's going to go up out there where you can put a plaque with your baby's name on it or a date or something so you can just put it on there and make it real, okay? Because God loves you. And God wants to free you of all that junk. So there's a revival of all this stuff going on. And every bit of it's designed to kill, steal, and to destroy. Every bit of it's designed to rip you off and to keep you from attaining what God has for you. Well, same thing happened to Daniel and his buddies. They erected this golden image, 90 feet tall and 9 feet wide, and they said, when the music plays, bow down and worship. And anybody that does not bow down and worship will be thrown into the furnace. And everybody, the first day, the inauguration day of this, everybody bowed down and worshiped. Except three I know of. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And they said, O king, I honor you and I respect you. But we will not bow down to your idol. We know that our Lord is able to save us, but even if he doesn't, we will not bow down to your idols. Man, there's idols all over the place now. They even got a show, American Idol. And I'm not against that show, okay? I know that's a play on words, but I'm just saying people bow down to their idols. People bow down and lessen the commandments of God because they've got a friend or family member that might be affected if God... Get over it. God's word is truth, isn't it, Danny? Don't matter what your kids are doing, you still got to stand on the word of God, right? You got to stand. You cannot bow. You cannot be taken down by the enemy anymore. Daniel, he was a good buddy of these guys, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. No more you to bow to your God and pray to your God, the true God. No more. Anybody caught bowing down to the true God, Elohim, Yahweh, we're going to take care of them too. We're going to throw them in the lion's den. And Daniel, the only one that didn't bow, it said he opened his windows. No, it said he went in the corner. Okay, God. It said he threw open the windows and went, rah! He was calling out to his God. He was praying to the Most High God for everybody to see. And so they scooped him up and they threw him in the lion's den. And the king didn't want to do this because he knew that Daniel was a righteous man. But he done made a bad vow, and all night he couldn't sleep because he was, oh my gosh, this guy, you know, there's blood all over the place, there's pieces. Said the next morning he went there, and Daniel was going, here, kitty, 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 meow, 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 meow. You say the lions weren't hungry. Come on out, Daniel. You know what he did? He threw the people that had him commanded to throw in there, threw them down, and it said they consumed them before they hit the floor. So you will never do wrong by following God. You will never do wrong by taking a stand for God. And the church is being tested right now. The church is being tested. And guess what? Point yourself. I am the church. I am the church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. Right? That don't mean you take a defensive stand. That means you rah. You go forward with your sword drawn. Right? It don't mean you're going to cowl in the corner, and right before you get consumed, God's going to show up. No, it means rah. Rah. He's my king. He's my savior. He's my Lord. He can deliver me, but even if he doesn't, praise God, I'm going to do, I'm going to go, I'm going to preach, I'm going to do what God's called me to do. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. And as you see the power of God, like Pastor Paul was speaking about, as you see the power of God, when you lay hands on sick people, not talking about me, when you lay hands on sick people, and you see them recover, praise God. That's a woo. When you cast out demons, it's like, whoa. There ain't no demons around no more. Why, where'd they go? I think there's more now than there was then. But a Christian can't have a demon. But a demon can't have a Christian. I'm telling you, you need to get free. You need to get free. There's more. There's more. There's more. You ain't supposed to talk about this stuff in church. Well, where in the heck should you talk about it? Come on. They didn't haul them back to a little room somewhere. They brought out the garbage can and went to work right there at the altar. Yeah, what are you talking about, Pastor Mark? Y'all ever seen a demon cast out? They're ugly. They make eyes turn green. They make heads swabble. They do all kinds of crazy stuff. But when you go, I bind you in the name of Jesus, they're like, whoa. Whoa. There's something greater power than my Satan. It's the power of the Most High God. And that's what's going to, listen, that's what's going to start happening in services as people come in from the world. People come in that are demon-possessed through being molested as children, through drugs, through, you fill in the blank, there's things that open up doors for these devils to get in. And it ain't psychology that'll fix it, because they'll get you hooked on psychology, because it pays. It's the power of God will come down and set free. He said, I came to set the captives free. When you are free in Jesus, you are free indeed. Free from the powers of death and hell. I love y'all. But what we need to do this morning is we need to repent. That great, and that's what's going to happen on these Friday nights too, by the way. People are going to repent. And when you repent, you clean the land. You clear the land. You take all the highway, the hedgerows, and you take away the thorns and the thistles, and you cut them down and you burn them up. Because when you do that, you make room for the Holy Spirit to operate. The Holy Spirit don't want to fool around on this tainted ground. He wants to come into a clean vessel. So we need to get cleaned up. And more of anything, what we need to repent of is unbelief. We need to repent of not believing God's going to do what He promised. It's just like, I felt that this morning. I felt the power of God. I felt the anointing on those words. But you know what? If we just put them to bed and say, well, we're just going to, it'll happen, praise God, if He wants it to happen. If not, that was a false prophecy. No. No, a lot of prophecies don't get fulfilled because you don't allow them to. You don't put yourself in a place where God can fulfill what He wants to do in your... Young lady, you got some things God wants to do in your life. Unbelievable things He wants to do in your life. He wants to cut down everything that offends, and He wants to fill that in with His presence. He wants you to walk in the presence of God all the time. And I'm not saying you don't love Jesus. I'm just saying there is so much more. There is so much more. Stand up. Put on that ministry CD. Hope I didn't scare you. Scared me. What kept the children of Israel out of the promised land? It was both, but you're right, it's unbelief. Unbelief kept them out of the promised land. And if you have no unbelief, praise God. Come up here and pray for the rest of us. But there was a fellow that came up to Jesus and he said, I believe, he said, but help my unbelief. God wants to release you from unbelief. And it don't matter what it is. It could be an addiction. It could be a lifestyle. It could be illness, sickness, disease. He wants to set you free. But first you got to repent and say, God, forgive me. Lord, I know you're a healer. I know you're a deliverer. I know you have a plan for me. Because some of y'all been beat up so bad by the enemy. He's lied to you for so long that you started believing it. God, I want to tell you, God loves you. Jesus loves you, and God has a great plan for your life. And it's a good one. It's a real good one. And even if you, man, even if you got in an argument on the way to church this morning, even if you got into something this morning you wasn't supposed to get into, God wants to wash you and cleanse you and start all over right now in Jesus' name. So if that's you, if you've never asked Jesus to come into your life, if you've never repented of your sins, if you've never let Him be your Lord, see, you don't want Him. You could say, well, He's my Savior, but He ain't my Lord. No, man, He needs to be your Lord. He needs to be your Lord. But if you were to get T-boned on the way out of here today and it's all over, and you're standing before a holy God and He says, why should I let you into my heaven? What would be your answer? I was pretty good sometimes. Man, nobody's good enough. Nobody's good enough to get into God's presence. Only by the blood of Jesus. Have you ever been washed? If you ever been forgiven? Come on right now in Jesus' name. Lord, I just pray. I break every power of the enemy. I break the power that holds people back from receiving the good things of God. I break your power, Satan, right now. And I proclaim the word of God. I proclaim freedom right now in Jesus' name. Come on right now if you need forgiveness. Come on right now if you need Jesus to come into your life. Come on, come on, come on, come on. Come on, don't hold back. This is the day. This is the day. This is the day. Come on, come on, come on, come on, come on, come on. If you're walking in unbelief right now, come on. It's all the same thing. Unbelief is sin. Come on, let's get things ready and right before God so we can move on. So we can see this mighty last day's revival. Come on, come on, come on, come on. I want y'all to do one more thing, okay? I want you to look to your left and your right. I want you to ask the person next to you, do you need to be up at that altar right now? If the answer is yes, don't lie to the Holy Spirit. Right now, ask them, and you come with them, okay?